It's early morning at Varna Airport in Bulgaria. The security cameras catch a man, moving fast, not jogging to catch a flight. This is different. This is not a man late for boarding. This is a man running for his life. The footage shows him leaving his luggage behind, passport, wallet, everything you need to get anywhere. He doesn't even look back at it. He barrels toward the exit like the walls are closing in. The automatic doors slide open and the sunlight hits him, but it doesn't slow him down. If anything, he accelerates. Across the pavement, past the parking lot, straight toward the outer fence. By the time airport staff even think to follow, he's already climbing. Fingers gripping chain link, shoes slipping against metal. He hauls himself over, drops hard on the other side, stumbles, then keeps going. Sprinting toward a field that leads into the trees. And then he's gone. Vanished into open daylight. No signs of a chase, nor pursuers caught on camera. Just a man who looked like he'd seen something no one else could see. And decided he'd rather risk whatever was in that forest than stay where he was. The man's name was Lars Mittek. And that was the last confirmed moment anyone ever saw him alive. Hey folks, before we dive deeper, quick favor please. If you want more stories like this, the kind that slip through the cracks and barely survive the algorithm, please help me by subscribing. All right, back into it. A missing person case is supposed to have a trail, a body, a last known location, a clue that points somewhere, anywhere. But Lars Mittek's case, it's like reality swallowed him whole. No trail, no clues, no closure. Just a set of events so bizarre, so contradictory, that even seasoned investigators admit they don't know where to start. 1 week earlier, Lars was just a 28-year-old German tourist on a summer trip to Bulgaria's Black Sea coast. By all accounts, he was healthy, fit, grounded. Not the kind of man who would just vanish. Friends said he was normal, relaxed. His mother said he was happy, easygoing. And then something changed. Something no one can fully explain. First, a bar fight outside a nightclub left him with a ruptured eardrum. Doctors advised him not to fly, warning the change in air pressure could permanently damage his hearing. That's the official medical note. But almost immediately after that visit, his behavior shifted. He separated from his friends. He checked into a cheaper hotel near the airport, one known for being in a rougher area. He called his mother in the middle of the night, whispering that four strange men were following him. He texted her that she should cancel his credit cards. Over the next 24 hours, witnesses said he paced the hotel hallways. He refused to eat the food he ordered. He seemed agitated, paranoid. Hotel staff recall him suddenly bolting out the door, returning hours later with no explanation. And then, the morning of July 8, 2014, at Varna Airport, he visits the airport doctor for one final check. The doctor later told police Lars seemed unusually anxious. Midway through the appointment, he suddenly muttered something about having to get out of here, and then he ran. The security footage captures what happened next. A man, wild-eyed, sprinting out of the terminal as if every second mattered. No pause at the exit, no hesitation at the road. Straight over a barbed wire fence and into the surrounding fields. And then, nothing. No phone, no wallet, no passport. No body. He was just gone. And here's where the ground really starts to drop out. The hospital records from his ear injury? Missing. The hotel CCTV from the night he claimed to be followed? Gone. His mother, the last person he spoke to, says his final words were cryptic and that his voice was different, like it wasn't him anymore. Some believe Lars was being hunted. Others think he was experiencing an acute mental break, maybe triggered by injury or substance. But there's another group, one that looks at the inconsistencies and the gaps in the official story, and wonders if something else stepped into his life that week. Something that didn't leave fingerprints, but left a hole big enough to erase him. A man doesn't just disappear in broad daylight. The day Lars ran from that airport, police launched an immediate search. For hours, then days, then weeks, Bulgarian authorities swept the surrounding countryside. Open fields, tangled forest, abandoned warehouses, and the crumbling edges of an old industrial site. They even checked drainage ditches, culverts, and the underbellies of bridges. Nothing. Not a shirt, not even a footprint that could be traced to him. Witness canvases turned up blank. Not a single verified sighting of a man running through town, flagging down cars, or asking for help. In a region where people know each other's faces, that's rare. Lars' mother, Sandra, boarded a plane to Bulgaria as soon as she got the call. She walked the same ground her son had vanished into. She met with airport officials. No trace, no closure. The official explanation took shape quickly. Authorities leaned on the mental health angle, labeling it a sudden psychotic episode. They speculated that Lars had run into the wilderness in a delusional state, succumbed to the elements, or was living off-grid, unrecognizable to anyone who might pass him. But there's a problem with that theory. Lars had no history of mental illness, no diagnoses, no treatment, no family pattern. Friends described him as calm, even tempered. The paranoia, the fear that someone was following him, only surfaced in Bulgaria, after that fight, after that visit to the doctor. And then another detail cracked the surface. When his mother tried to obtain the medical records from the Bulgarian clinic where he'd been treated for his ear injury, they were gone. No notes, no official record that he'd ever been seen there. The antibiotics prescription, no paper trail. According to the clinic, it was as if Lars had never been their patient at all. That's when the search for Lars turned into something else entirely. Because if the last official documentation of his health vanished, what else was missing? And that's when the theories began. At this point, Lars Mittank wasn't just missing. It was like someone had gone back and deleted him from the timeline. And when a disappearance is this strange, the theories aren't just strange, they get unsettling. The official story? A sudden psychotic break. The first theory was the easiest for authorities to put on paper, that Lars had suffered a sudden psychotic episode, a total mental collapse, that his fear of being followed, his refusal to eat, his change of hotels, the wild sprint out of the airport, it was all in his head. But here's the problem. Sudden psychosis is rare in people with no history of it. According to psychiatric studies, most first episodes of schizophrenia or psychosis develop over weeks or months, not overnight. Friends and family testified that Lars had no history of mental illness, no drug use that could explain hallucinations, no family genetic markers that might put him at risk. In the timing, he went from a normal vacation to full-blown terror in just 48 hours. Something had to light the fuse. If this was a psychotic break, what was the trigger? So then there's the second theory, that Lars was in real danger, that the paranoia wasn't paranoia at all. So let's go back to the bar fight. It was over a soccer rivalry, his home team Werder Bremen versus the locals' favorite. Witnesses say it was minor, just a scuffle. But what if it wasn't over when the punches stopped? What if Lars crossed the wrong people? He told his mother that four men were following him. He begged her to cancel his credit card. He switched hotels, deliberately choosing a cheaper, less visible one near the airport. Now, these aren't the moves of a man hallucinating. They're the moves of someone who feels hunted. And then there's the airport. Surveillance shows Lars walking in calmly. Then something or someone catches his eye. In an instant, he drops his bag and bolts. Now that's not random, that's a reaction. So now the darkest theory. The last theory is the one people don't like to talk about. That Lars' disappearance wasn't about who he was, but what he saw. Something he stumbled into something he wasn't meant to witness. Organized crime activity, smuggling, or even black market medical operations. Bulgaria's Black Sea Coast has documented cases of human trafficking routes. Others whisper about covert experiments, pointing to the vanishing medical records as a red flag. The most extreme version suggests he was targeted for organ harvesting or experimentation, citing the fact that ear injuries can be consistent with certain types of blunt trauma, or even an induced condition designed to control or incapacitate someone. If that sounds far-fetched, remember, it's not unheard of for witnesses in Eastern European criminal cases to vanish without a trace. And when official records, like medical files, disappear, it's rarely by accident. So what really happened? Did Lars lose his mind overnight? Did he spot his pursuers at the airport and make a desperate escape? Or was he erased because he stumbled into something much bigger than himself? Whatever the truth is, it left no trace and no way to bring him home. Some disappearances feel like folklore, distant, softened by the years, their edges blunted by retelling. But this isn't folklore. Lars Mittank was real. He laughed, he worked. He had plans for the next week. And then, one day in July, the story just stops. No slow fade out, no epilogue, just a single frozen image of a man in full sprint, terror carved into his face in a silence that's lasted more than a decade. What did he see? Who or what did he believe was closing in? This wasn't some isolated mountain road or a fishing boat swallowed by fog. This was an airport, a place built to track and monitor every movement. Hundreds of cameras, security checks at every door. Yet after that moment on the footage, Lars is gone. The ground might as well have opened up beneath him. No trace, no dropped wallet, not even the faint trail of someone trying to survive. And we're left with the possibility so unsettling, it gnaws at the edges of reason. Maybe the obvious explanation, an injury triggering a sudden psychotic break, really is all there is. Maybe he ran into the wild and the earth kept his secret. But if that's all it was, why did the records vanish? Why did his story disappear almost as completely as he did? Because here's the truth most people don't want to think about. If someone or something wanted to erase you, they could. They could wipe your paper trail, delete your presence from cameras, scrub every official record until it's like you never walked the earth. And who would be left to prove you ever did? If Lars could vanish this completely without the world even noticing it happened, how many others already have? And how many more will? The truth is, Lars' story isn't just about one man disappearing. It's about how fragile our place in the world really is. How quickly a life can be erased, not just physically, but on paper, on video, in memory. And if it can happen to him, the question isn't could it happen to you? It's would anyone even know? If this investigation made you think, if it left you with more questions than answers, then that's exactly the point. Because the only way we get closer to the truth is by chasing it together. So if you want to see more deep dives into the mysteries they'd rather we forget, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notifications, and share this episode with someone who thinks nothing surprises them anymore. If you want to help me keep digging, past the headlines, past the noise, you can support this work directly at patreon.com/divergentfiles. The world is strange. The story's even stranger. And we're just here trying to make sense of it all. Thanks for showing up, for sticking around, and for being part of this wild experiment. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and remember that you, right now, are the reason truth still has a chance. These investigations are powered by those who believe truth still matters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Join the mission at patreon.com/divergentfiles.